Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to a new edition of Absolute Truth. Absolutely. This is your host, Gio, and this is the podcast, which is powered by LWIM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. So glad, so content that you're able to download these podcasts. We only ask that you are able to distribute, to promulgate these podcasts with your friends, with your family members, so they too may know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. Remember, John 8:32, Jesus tells us that if we know the truth, that the same will set us free. Let others know the truth. Let others know by grace what you have received by grace. You know, a few weeks ago, we went with the youth group to watch God's Not Dead, a film which I believe to be very Bible-centered, very accurate as it pertains to real-life scenarios, a few corny bits and pieces to my taste in the film. And there was one portion of the film that I disagree with as it pertains to a quote of psychology. And most of you know how I feel about psychology and psychoanalysis. But nevertheless, the core of the film, the epicenter of the film, is very Christ-centered, very scripturally centered. And I advise, and I have advised others, to go watch the film and to employ your patronage towards the films. Why do I say this? Well, we Christians were always complaining and bickering that Hollywood is leftist, that Hollywood is a promulgator, a broadcaster of sin and of perdition. And then when something like this, like a movie or film like God's Not Dead, is released, automatically we shun it and we say it has to be of inferior quality. I'm not going to say that that excuse is completely unjustified, because previous works in past years have been very low budget and truly have been inferior in quality. But this film in particular, I can say without any regrets, without any hesitation, that it is a film that is very centered, very Christ-centered, and one that I would recommend, highly recommend, for any young person, especially that is studying in high school, in the university level, so that it inspires them to stand tall, to stand firm in Christ. Now, we went to go see this film as a youth group field trip a few weeks ago. And then a few days later, I received in my inbox a mass email that was sent by an organization that I deeply respect. I have been in communication with its founder, and it's an entity that has existed for many years to equip the saints to fight the good fight, an apologetics fight, to defend the faith, and one that whose founder I deeply respect, and he has had a profound influence in my own life and in my own habits of study and researching of scriptures and whatnot. For sure, I can say 100% with 100% certainty that God used this man's life to impact my own and to inspire me to search the scriptures more diligently and to adhere to biblical truth and to stand tall for it. But a few days ago, I received an email in which they coupled God's Not Dead with other so-called religious films that are being released or have been released in 2014, such as Noah, such as Son of God, and eventually the eventual release of Exodus, which, if I'm not mistaken, stars Christian Bale and reenacts or attempts to reenact the Exodus, and he's playing Moses, and it comes out later this year, if I'm not mistaken, in the winter of 2014. And I've seen God's Not Dead, and I've also seen the film Noah, and Noah is a radical departure. It is blasphemy. It is blasphemous. It is a film that attempts to redefine God's character, redefine Noah's character. It replaces the biblical narrative with one of extremist environmentalist, tree-hugging individuals, that sort of thing. God's Not Dead is completely different. God's Not Dead, as I have said before, is a biblically grounded film, and I still would recommend it. Noah, on the other hand, is a film that I would not recommend. I felt like getting up and leaving throughout the entire film, but I had to watch it for purposes of research. Interestingly enough, one of the founders of this particular ministry forwarded a mass email to all of those that are subscribed to that particular ministry's website and their email updates, in which he quotes A.W. Tozer. And the organization, this ministry, says that A.W. Tozer warned of the delusion, or rather the dilution of Scripture through the movies. And in reading the quote, in reading what A.W. Tozer had to say about films, I would have to say that I couldn't disagree more. And this is a point of departure for me from the typical sentiment that most people, or maybe many of those of the old guard, I would say, still espouse as it pertains to cinematographic works. What do I mean? What do you mean by that, Gio? Well, let's read the quote first from A.W. Tozer. And obviously, if they have quoted him in this particular mass email, it must be that they have the same feelings as it pertains to any film that purports to be Christian and have a scriptural message in nature. A.W. Tozer is quoted as saying, "Surely it requires no genius to see that the Bible rules out pictures and dramatics as media for bringing faith and life to the human soul. The plain fact is that no vital spiritual truth can be expressed by a picture. Actually, all any picture can do is to recall to mind some truth already learned through the familiar medium of the spoken or written word. Religious instruction and words are bound together by a living cord and cannot be separated without fatal loss. The Spirit Himself, teaching soundlessly within the heart, makes use of ideas previously received into the mind by means of words." He continues, "If I am reminded that modern religious movies are sound pictures, making use of the human voice to augment the dramatic action, the answer is easy. Just as far as the movie depends upon spoken words, it makes pictures unnecessary. The picture is the very thing that differentiates between the movie and the sermon. The movie addresses its message primarily to the eye and to the ear only incidentally. Were the message addressed to the ear, as in the scriptures, the picture would have no meaning and could be omitted without loss to the intended effect. Words can say all that God intends them to say, and this they can do without the aid of pictures. According to one popular theory, the mind receives through the eye 5 times as much information as the ear. As far as the external shell of physical facts is concerned, this may hold good. But when we come to spiritual truth, we are in another world entirely. In that world, the outer eye is not too important. God addresses his message to the hearing ear. We look, says Paul, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This agrees with the whole burden of the Bible, which teaches us that we should withdraw our eyes from beholding visible things and fasten the eyes of our hearts upon God while we reverently listen to his uttered words," end quote. This is Tozer in The Menace of the Religious Movie. Well, if the premise then is true according to Tozer, then we should all become blinded and call that a virtue. We should not experience life as it happens right before our eyes. Rather, since only hearing is important and the uttered words are important because only they communicate utterly spiritual and unadulterated truths, then we should all drop acid in our eyes and not experience the world the way that God intended us to experience. Obviously, God gave us eyes to see and he gave us ears to hear. Why? There's a little thing called body language. There's a little thing also called truth and deception. And the eyes and the ears can pick up both in an instant, only if you know how to discern properly. Because to the untrained ear, to the person who is not exercised in judgment and discernment, neither his eyes or her eyes nor their ears will be able to discern between that which is fallacious, deceitful, and that which is filled with truth and holiness and purity. This is the way it goes. It's just a natural fact of life. You cannot debate this because this is just the truth. There's no debating the truth as it pertains to this. I mean, if this were not factual, then when I would give contemptible news to a person, they would not react in such a manner where I could automatically determine that they are upset, they have been disgusted by the news that I have just revealed to said person. And they don't have to communicate anything. They don't have to open their mouth. They don't have to speak a word. I know automatically from the reaction, their bodily reaction, their facial expression, how they feel about the news that I have just communicated. Likewise, if I communicate awesome news, beneficial news to that individual or to that group of persons, many of them will react with a smile. And that lets me know via that body language that they are content. They are happy. This has brought satisfaction somehow to their soul and to their heart. In the same way, we see the pictorial features and cinematographic work. You see, when A.W. Tozer says that the Bible rules out pictures and dramatics as media for bringing faith and life to the human soul, I'd like to see the particular verse in the Bible that he quotes in order to tell me, to communicate to me that scriptures say explicitly the pictorial features, cinematographic works, the film, is evil and cannot communicate spiritual truth. Therefore, you should discard it and it's sinful. And he continues, the plain fact is that no vital spiritual truth can be expressed by a picture. And that is not the truth. That is a lie. I've seen many films in the past, Christian-based films that communicate spiritual truth via what they are portraying, via what they are dramatizing on the screen or live on a stage. It is possible to communicate spiritual truth via dramatics without ever deviating from the scriptural pattern via what the scriptures say. I've seen many dramas which are excellently portrayed, excellently produced, and these are great to portray spiritual truth. Because if not, then we would have to say that even those that in dramatics employ, or in a dramatization, employ the scriptural terminologies, they quote directly from the scriptures, and then they dramatize it, then we would have to say of that, that that's not scriptural. Even though they are using the Bible, they are quoting directly from the Bible, and all they're doing is they're acting it out before the cameras or before an audience on a stage, we would have to say that that's not biblical, even though they are quoting directly from the scriptures. Isn't that a contradiction according to what A.W. Tozer believes? Absolutely. And notice that he also says the movie addresses its message primarily to the eye and to the ear only incidentally. So why do we write scripts? Why is it that scripts are written? To communicate a message. Absolutely, to communicate a message. So what I think A.W. Tozer is saying is that mostly motion pictures, or it might be that maybe since he lived during the time of Charlie Chaplin, he saw the silent films and this is the conclusion he came to. But nowadays we live in high definition and multiple movies, which basically all the movies actually have spoken word to them. So, you know, this is circular reasoning, ladies and gentlemen. It's circular reasoning because, and what is circular reasoning, you might ask? Circular reasoning is when a person tells you something is true because you have to take it on their own authority. They say, it's true because I said it. And since I say it authoritatively, it must be true. That's circular reasoning. That's not true. That's fallacious. And there's also the idolatry argument to this particular discussion. What's the idolatry argument, Gio? Well, they quote the scriptures and saying, you shall not make yourself a graven image. And then they say any film that portrays or any dramatization that portrays Jesus Christ, it is idolatry. Well, I have never ever heard of a producer, of a filmmaker who is trying to be accurate to the scriptures, ever say this character that's portraying Jesus Christ, he is Jesus Christ. Idolize him and worship him. No, we're simply reenacting it for a generation that is very sensory driven so that we can teach them what the scriptures teach and then take them to the scriptures, to read the scriptures. Now, anyone that does not do this, anyone that does not employ that as a disclaimer and say, look, this is just a dramatization, go to the scriptures to see what actually happened, to make sure that we're accurate in our portrayals, they're doing a disservice. They're certainly doing a disservice. But anyone that in their heart of hearts attempts and they are able to accomplish it to keep themselves biblically centered via their dramatization, I believe they're doing absolutely a great service to humanity. As a matter of fact, if we were to take A.W. Tozer's advice, we should not employ YouTube, we should not employ the internet to communicate the gospel. It's a sin. When I think, and I'm assured, I want to ask Paul in heaven, and I'm pretty sure he would affirm my suspicion, that if Paul lived in our day and age, he would have employed the internet to the maximum capacity he could. I'm pretty sure he would overflow Google's servers, Microsoft servers, with the gospel. Remember, Paul filled the known world in the age that he was living in via papyrus and pen. Imagine if he had this technology available to us today, how much more the reach of the gospel would have been with Paul at the helm, if you will, the apostles at the helm, other Christians. It's happening today. I mean, it's happening today. Christians are taking the helm. They are guiding the ship, if you will. Of course, or rather, you know what? Let me rebobinate here for a second. God is directing the ship. I have to be accurate here. God is directing the ship, but Christians employ the means available to them to communicate the gospel. Absolutely. So the truth of the matter is there are so many different things that we could say about this to contradict this very thought process. And one more that comes to mind. What about documentaries? Documentaries have done so much good to humanity by showcasing the truth. I'm not saying every documentary. Not most, but many documentaries are skewed and they don't present all the facts, but many documentaries do. And they have done so much good to humanity because they expose the truth. They have used the pictorial feature to bring about facts to the masses. Come on. This is utterly ridiculous. You know what this is? This is a person's sentiments, feelings, dislikes turned into a dogma, into an ideology. And therefore, since they may not assist the films, or maybe they go on this, well, Hollywood has a history of producing sinful works, and therefore we have to couple in every single Hollywood feature, including those that are made by Christians. We have to couple those in there. And even though we research the message and we know the message is good, we have to couple those in there with Hollywood's history. You can't generalize like that. You can't do that. That's a disservice. You're performing a disservice, not a service, but a disservice to humanity. So I think we have to be very careful. I think this is an example that allows us to see the dangers of turning my dislikes into dogma, into biblical doctrine. This is another case of this. And like I said, I wholeheartedly respect and I love the brethren of this particular ministry. I don't want to mention their name because my intention is not to try to discredit them or to bring them shame. That's not my intention. My intention is to showcase how sometimes, maybe sincerely or not, we make mistakes and we say, this is dogma, even though all it is my own personal distaste for a particular institution when we can employ that particular institution for good. It's the same thing with all things. Books have been used throughout the ages to communicate truth. Books have also been used throughout the ages to communicate deceit. It's the same thing, if you think upon it, with the Bible. The Bible has been used for good, and it has been used for evil. Some people say, whoa, Gio, that's a stretch. I mean, you're almost blaspheming. No, God knows my heart. I'm not saying that the Bible is evil. I'm saying that people have employed the Bible for evil. They have twisted its words, its meanings, and they have manipulated many via the words of scriptures. They twist, they do with the text as they please to present their arguments. And then since they present it in the so-called authority, on their own authority, and then on the authority of the Bible, people automatically assume it has to be true. Why? Because these control freaks, these dictators and despots and autocrats, they know that many times people will not perform their own research to see that if what they are saying from the pulpits and from the stages, to see whether or not those things are true. So you have to be very, very careful. Again, let me clarify. I'm not saying the Bible's evil. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that it has been used in the past and it's still being used today by people who intend to manipulate others. So I hope this helps, and I hope you can use this as an example to be able to detect, discern circular reasoning when it appears, because many times all it does is make followers of equal distaste or of a person's distaste and not of biblical doctrine. So that's all the time I have left for this edition. I thank you for downloading this podcast. Please share it with your friends, with your family members, so they too may know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. This has been Gio, the youth leader of LWIM. If you are in the Miami vicinity, visit us every Friday night during our Friday night youth meetings at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments, please direct them to my inbox, Gio, J-I-O at LWIM.org. And also visit our webpage for the latest on all things LWIM, LWIM.org. Until the next edition that we meet, may the Lord shine his face on you. Godspeed.